Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
We have been huge fans of the Tiger King series on Netflix. My wife, actually, coincidentally, our guest is Robert Moore. He created the Tiger King podcast. Mm-hmm. My wife didn't know Netflix made a thing, and she goes, oh, I just finished this podcast.
Right, you guys are on different pages. She was the podcast, he were the show.
Right, so I said, oh, that's awesome. So I finished the series, I dove into Robert Moore's podcast. I haven't finished it quite yet, but I dove in, and I'm so fascinated. We're both fascinated. So Robert's joining us now. Robert, first of all, thanks for doing double duty here on our station. I know you were on last night with our Drive Time show. It's great to have you on. Robert, I want to start with this. For the listeners out there who have heard about the Tiger King, but haven't quite watched or heard anything about it, could you do a very quick backstory of who Joe Exotic is and what this story is?
Oh my God. That's the hardest thing to answer. Okay. So Joe Exotic is a very eccentric, gay, polygamous redneck who carries guns all the time. He's got a bleach blonde mullet, and he lives down in Oklahoma where he has this zoo. And the zoo is very controversial because he breeds tigers and lions and ligers and all these weird hybrids there, like many of them, dozens a year. And the reason why he bred them was so that he could charge people money to pet them, because he could make a lot of money that way. But needless to say, that's a very controversial thing to do, because then these lions and tigers all end up, God knows where, they end up in backyard zoos, they end up getting killed. Terrible things happen to lions and tigers when they grow up because they're expensive to feed. So there's a woman in Florida named Carol Baskin who has made it her mission in life to shut down people like Joe. Joe and Carol end up in a feud that escalates and escalates over many years. Joe impersonates Carol at one point. She sues him. She wins $1 million. And then the debt starts to weigh on him, and he gets increasingly enraged with her to the point where he hires a hitman to kill her. Now, that's the simple version of the story. There's a lot more to it than that.
God, it is so incredible. How did you stumble across this? Like, how did this come across your wire and you thought, I'm going to do a podcast about it?
I initially came across it just through a story in the L.A. Times. It said, Michael Jackson's alligators burned alive in zoo fire, which I thought was a pretty odd headline. Yeah. And so I opened it up and I discovered Joe Exotic, and I fell right down the Joe Exotic wormhole. And then I pitched it to a men's magazine, who I'm not going to name. And they sent me down there, and I went and lived at the zoo for a week. And I knew there was a story here, because Joe was telling me about his hatred of Carol. He was telling me about his desire to kill Carol. But I couldn't quite get the story to come together, because there was no storyline. Nothing had happened. It was just this quirky guy. So I kept talking to Joe. I visited the zoo a couple more times. I went and talked to Carol and Howard. But then finally, once he was arrested, there was a conclusion to the story. So then it all came to fruition and published a really long 10,000-word feature in New York Magazine, and then the 6-part podcast for Wondery.
Robert, Joe is a very big narcissist. For people that are going to dive into this story, he's a huge narcissist. He wants the attention. He's always filming. He's always talking. when you stayed with him and you got there and you're like, ah, dive into the story a little bit and you're getting to know who he is and what this whole thing's kind of about. Walk us through what it's like to stay on that property for a week and see the dynamic of taking care of these huge wild animals that shouldn't be caged while also dealing with a character like Joe Exotic. What's it like to stay a week with Joe Exotic and company?
Well, I'll tell you, he's both a dream and a nightmare for any journalist. And he's a dream because he talks and he talks and he talks and he seems not to be hiding anything because the things he's saying are so outlandish. You know, I mean, I heard him say at one point that, you know, there are a bunch of school kids there. And he says, God, I hate children. I wish they'd all just been drowned. You know, he'd say just really off the wall things like that. And you think, wow, this guy is so honest. But then later you discover that he's lying to you about so many things. So it was kind of dizzying. I mean, you walked in the door, you were in a gift shop just full of Joe Exotic merchandise, everything you can imagine, candy, condoms, massage oil, underwear, T-shirts, everything had his face on it. There was a TV in the corner playing his music videos on a continuous loop. He comes in, when he met me, walked in the door, and he had a cameraman following him. So the cameraman is now filming me and filming Joe as I'm interviewing Joe. And then takes me on this tour through the zoo, and he walks through the zoo, and he's playing with all the animals. You know, he had these chimpanzees that he was feeding banana-flavored Twinkies to. He was playing with a bear, got into a cage with a tiger. And then he takes me back to his house, and his house was this little ranch house that was inside the zoo. It was actually inside of, like, a cage inside the zoo. And in there, he had all these baby low ligers, which is half liger, just half tiger and lion, and then half lion. So these baby low ligers, which are incredibly rare animals, they barely exist anywhere on Earth. He has them in his house just running around, scratching up his furniture. I'm playing with this animal. It was all so surreal. You know, it just, none of it really seemed like reality. It seemed almost like reality television brought to life or something.
Yeah, I've heard people explain the podcast and the documentary as kind of, it feels like it's one of those mockumentaries, like somebody just created this whole storyline in their head and came up with all these characters, but then you realize that it's actually real. I'm curious, what is the, like, when you're walking around the park and these people are there, it is soaking in Joe Exotic and paying to come, you know, experience everything that he has to offer. What's the opinion of him, like, from the patrons? Because the guy ran for governor and he actually got a decent number of votes. Like, is he actually respected? Is he a big laughingstock? Like, how do people in Oklahoma feel about him?
I went around Wynnewood and I interviewed people there, and they don't have a really high opinion of him. They think, I mean, he's kind of the town eccentric. You know, I think a lot of them kind of find him a bit embarrassing. But most of the people who came to the zoo didn't really know who Joe Exotic was. I mean, you would drive down the highway and you'd see all these billboards of this man with this bleach blonde mullet and this tattooed eyeliner cuddling with tigers. And it would say, you know, the GW Zoo, Joe Exotic, et cetera. But most of them just wanted to go to a zoo. I mean, it's halfway between Dallas and Oklahoma City. It was right there on the highway. So a lot of people, it's just families, groups of school kids, stuff like that, who wanted to go and play with a baby tiger. Then they'd walk in and realize that the whole zoo was really about Joe. He was like star of the show. It wasn't about the tigers. And you could see this look on their face like, what's happening? I mean, he would get inside a tiger cage and give these speeches to the audience about how much he hated Carol Baskin and PETA and how people were trying to break into the zoo and poison his animals and how he kept two guns on his side at all times in case he needed to shoot someone. And the school children would just have these shocked and horrified looks on their faces like, what kind of a zoo is this?
Robert Moore is our guest. He created the Tiger King podcast, which kind of inspired and I think helped create the Netflix docuseries. Everybody's talking about this story. You can find Robert on Twitter at Robert M-O-O-R underscore and follow him for more insight on this. And he's also writing he's currently writing a book in the woods. I'll ask you this then. When you listen to the pod, what's the biggest difference in your opinion? First of all, have you watched the Netflix docuseries? Have you watched that all the way through?
Yeah, of course, of course. And I should correct you on something. Our podcast definitely did not inspire the docuseries. Eric Good, the guy who made this documentary, was in on this story a year before I was.
He started
in 2014. So he's been doing this for a really long time. And that's part of the reason why this documentary is so rich in details, because he was filming with Joe for a long time. And then once Joe went to jail, he bought all of Joe's hard drives. He got, like, gave him, I think they said in court, he paid $60,000 for all of Joe's hard drives and got the rights to all his footage. So everything Joe ever filmed went into this documentary. So that's why there's like this incredible wealth of scenes in this documentary.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I was going to ask, what are some differences based on what you watched and then what you created on the podcast? What's something that maybe you went with in the podcast that maybe they didn't include as much in the Netflix series that you think is pretty vital for people to know about this crazy story as well?
I think that my one overarching criticism of the documentary, which, by the way, I think is fantastic. I think that with the amount of information and wacky characters and things they had to deal with, they did a marvelous job of bringing it all together, making it really entertaining. My one critique would be, I think they go a little soft on Joe. I think that they actually let him off the hook a little bit, mm-hmm. because they don't call him out on a lot of the egregious lies that he was telling people. You know, as I say in my Twitter thread, I made this long thread of all the things you may not have seen in the documentary. You guys can check it out. One of the things I point out is that Joe claimed to have been dying of bone marrow cancer and was raising money from his followers to pay his expenses. Oh, and he told me he was dying of bone marrow cancer. You know, he claimed to have been singing those country songs and was going around talking about what a great country singer was. He wasn't singing those country songs. That's obvious to anyone who hears his speaking voice. And I've talked to the songwriters, the people who sing those songs. You know, there were a lot of lies that he told. And the biggest thing is that a lot of people seem to have been coming away from this documentary thinking that Joe was framed, that Joe didn't actually hire a hitman to kill Carol, that it was Eric and Alan setting him up. And I can tell you from having sat through that trial, that is just categorically false. There's overwhelming evidence that Joe was involved and wanted to hire a hitman to kill Carol.
God. It's amazing that you bring that up, because we were literally having that conversation yesterday about, you kind of sympathize for him, right? He was totally set up. It's like you get through the documentary. God, that is such a great point. Now, the documentarian, too, like I saw you on Twitter talking about him. It sounds like he has an interesting backstory, too.
Yeah, he does. He's kind of an interesting character. He is a wealthy hotel owner and bar owner from New York City who, you know, had been, I mean, he used to hang out with, like, Andy Warhol and Madonna. You know, he opened this nightclub called Area that was very popular and has a, you know, the Bowery Hotel and B-Bar, all these cool kind of places. And then he became obsessed, apparently, with turtle conservation. He was just really trying to save endangered turtles. And through that, he discovered snakes. I believe it was like the underground snake trade. And from that, as you see in the beginning of the documentary, mm-hmm. then he discovers that there's this underground cat trade, these snow leopard in a van. And through that, he finds Joe Exotic. So he had originally intended to make a documentary just about the underground trade in big cats, but Joe Exotic became the focus of the documentary, and Carol, because there was just so much going on there, and it was such a rich narrative structure. And so, you know, then he just went. I mean, he was really tireless. I watched him at the trial. He and Rebecca filmed everything. They got everyone on the record. It was a really monumental effort.
Yeah, I think, you know, that, Robert, that was one of my big takeaways just from watching was, when you get these kind of stories, like Making a Murderer Made a couple years ago, right, is you get a lot of good access and footage. And this one takes it to a level we've never had. We've never seen access where every big thing, minus some of the stuff they obviously left out or didn't portray well enough, you almost have documentation of every single thing they talked about or that they did. It's quite outstanding in that regard. I do want to ask you this. Do you think there was ever a time when he started this? Because the other thing the docuseries does is it kind of ends with him talking to his chimpanzees and how he kept him in a cage, and he seemed to have remorse over that. And I think there is a sympathetic nature to it. Do you think that he had a point where he created that zoo or whatever you want to call it, and he meant positivity with it? Or do you think this was always about making a sick amount of money and he never really cared about animals whatsoever? Like, do you think he had a point where he cared and then he started to make real big money and it changed him?
Yeah, see, this is kind of the great tragic irony of Joe's life. If he really was an animal lover, and we go into this in a lot more detail in the podcast and the article I wrote, you know, he was this kid who grew up, you know, gay and bullied in Kansas and Texas and Wyoming, and was kind of ostracized, and he turned to animals. I mean, he was raising animals from a young age. He was taking in, you know, raccoons and deer and things like that were abandoned and nursing them back to health, even as a little kid. Then he opened up a pet store with his very first husband, this guy named Brian Rhine. And then they had a great little life together, but Joe's brother died in a drunk driving accident. Joe decided to open the sanctuary for animals. This is what the GW Zoo was supposed to be what Carol Baskin has today. It was supposed to be a sanctuary where you take in animals other people didn't want. And for the first while there, that's all they did. They didn't breed. They didn't sell. They just took care of injured and abandoned animals. Then Joe's husband died. He died of complications regarded to HIV. He had HIV. And that kind of changed Joe. A lot of people say his personality changed. One person told me, you know, that's when Joe Schreibvogel went away and Joe Exotic was born. Mm. This guy who was obsessed with his ego, he was obsessed with his image, he was obsessed with power and money, started to come to the forefront. And so he started breeding tigers. He started selling tigers. He started doing these road shows. He started becoming a magician and then a country music star and then a reality star and then a politician. It all became about Joe. And over time, it stopped being about the animals. And in fact, the animals were just kind of a burden in the end because he had so many of them. They're so expensive to take care of. But then, you know, at the very end, I mean, I had the same conversation with Joe. He is very contrite. You know, he's sitting there in a cage looking out saying, my God, this is what I did to those animals. This is how my tigers must have felt. This is how my chimpanzees must have felt, sitting in a cage all day with nothing to do. Yeah. And so, you know, there is some kind of karmic comeuppance for what he subjected all those animals to.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, we're against it. We got to take a quick, like, 2-minute commercial. Is there any way we could get you to hang around? We just have a couple more questions. We're really into this. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'm around.
All right, perfect. Robert Moore is our guest here. He created the Tiger King podcast. He's going to hang around. We're going to bring him back. We got some more questions on the Tiger King because, man, it is all the rage right now. Robert Moore will hang on with us. We'll get to more next on the Tiger King on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We've got Robert Moore, who created the Tiger King podcast, on the line. He hung around. So thank you very much for Robert for hanging with us. He's on Twitter, at Robert Moore, M-O-O-R underscore. Give him a follow. We're talking Joe Exotic and the Tiger King.
Well, you introduced us to all these characters in the podcast. We got to see him on the documentary. I'm just curious to ask, like, from the interactions that you've had with them, excluding Joe Exotic, which one was truly, like, the craziest that when you're just sitting across from him, it's hard to comprehend?
They're all pretty eccentric in different ways. I would say that the one that was, I don't know about craziest, but the scariest to me was Jeff Lowe.
Yeah.
He has a very cold demeanor. He has these sort of reptilian eyes that stare into you, these very cold blue eyes. And whenever I was around him, which was only twice in person, it was unsettling to me. I mean, that's a guy who, of all the people in this story, he's probably the one to be most afraid of.
When you first got there, I heard you mention this yesterday, when you got there was around the time, I believe, that Joe, and you believe, I think everybody kind of walks away with the same assumption, that Joe probably sabotaged and blew up his own studio to destroy evidence. It seems like you get there at maybe the craziest time, given the storyline, timeline that we got from the docuseries. Were you even mentally prepared for what you ended up finding out and creating with this podcast? Do you think you were really prepared for this story?
Oh, no, not at all. I had no idea what this was going to do to my life. I mean, I thought this would be a quick little Men's Magazine 4,000-word story about a quirky guy with the zoo. I had no idea that this is what would happen. And what happens with this story and why it draws everyone in, and again, this is a credit I give to the documentary because they captured this really well, is there's this quality I call fractal weirdness, where the deeper you zoom in on any one detail, the weirder it gets.
Right.
Normally as a journalist, when you look at a story, the headline is the most interesting thing. And then you dig deeper and it's actually reality is less interesting, you know, than the story you read. Like that happens all the time when you're a journalist. However, this story, the deeper you dig, the weirder it gets. Everything is just fascinating. Every single person involved, down to the most minor characters, are scoundrels and liars and bizarre. There's this bizarre, deeply American strangeness to every element of this story. And part of it is because exotic animals attract eccentric people. Part of it's because there was a lot of methamphetamine and other drugs going on that pushed people to weird extremes. You know, there's just a strangeness to it all that's captivating and hypnotic. And that's why I couldn't look away, even when it looked like at one point I couldn't publish the article. I said, you know, I'm just going to keep hoeing this row until something comes of it because I can't stop. It's fascinating.
You get addicted to it, man. How many times, two-parter, how many times were you offered drugs maybe on the week that you were there?
I was thinking the same question.
And then how many times did you fear for your life?
Well, see, what's interesting is Joe actually was very anti-drug in public. In fact, he would go around giving speeches to make kids pledge to never take drugs, even though he was taking meth, like, a lot. And had told me, even back into the the '80s, he was snorting meth with his boyfriend and going out to clubs and stuff. He's been doing drugs for a long time, but he in public said he hated drugs. If any employee was caught doing drugs, they were fired on the spot. Because one of the things about running a zoo is everyone kind of needs to be on their game when they're working, right? If you're drinking or if you're on drugs, like someone could die. And so he was actually quite strict about that. And then, you know, so at the time there, actually, I didn't see any drug use. The only person I ever saw doing drugs was Travis, who was just high all the time, you know, and that was just weed. So it was actually pretty well hidden. It wasn't till later when I left and I started, interviewing all of his former employees that I discovered the rampant drug use and the danger of being there. I mean, to get to your other question, I had one former employee tell me, you know, be careful because they have a system set up down there for death. Said they could have you, and what he meant was they kill the and butchered horses and cows all the time to feed to the tigers. He said they could have you killed, butchered, and fed out in 15 minutes. And so the next time I came back to the zoo, I was feeling pretty nervous.
Jeez, this is author, journalist, and podcast creator Robert Moore, our guest here. He's on Twitter at Robert Moore _. Give him a follow. The Tiger King Joe Exotic is what we're talking about. Now, I've heard rumblings of maybe them following this up, people wanting to create movies and, you know, TV shows. Twitch, the TV show, I don't really need actors. This story in itself is great enough with the stuff you have. But I'm curious from your perspective, have you completely moved on from this story? Or maybe does this make you think, God, it's such a weird story. We don't even know anything about Bhagavan. I mean, that dude's down in South Carolina doing God knows what. I know at the end of it, they say he's being investigated. Has this motivated you to maybe diving into somebody like him? Carol, do you want to pick this story up again and create maybe another podcast with it? Or is this something that you're moving on from and maybe you're just kind of wrapping up talking about it?
No, yeah, I'm pretty much moving on from this. If Eric and Rebecca want to do, you know, bonus episodes where they really dig deep on Doc Antle or Mario Tabrow or any of these other guys, I would be fascinated to watch. But personally, I mean, I'm writing a book about trees right now. You know, it's like, just the farthest I can get to this story. I need like a bath for my brain. But the truth is that, you know, I am working on that. We signed a deal with Universal to make a TV series out of the miniseries. So it will be starring Kate McKinnon as Carol Baskin. We haven't cast Joe Exotic yet, what? But that will be something that will be coming out on some streaming service. Will be the same way Wondery made Dirty John and Dr. Death. I don't know if you guys have seen those, but you know, they're very good at making podcasts into these TV miniseries. We're going to do a similar thing with Joe Exotic. So that should be out in a couple of years.
How about that?
That sounds awesome. And it also sounds like if you put it on like the Hallmark Channel or Oxygen, you know, those thrillers, it becomes cheesy, but it's so good that you can't look away.
Well, if you need help casting it, I think Dax Shepard sent a tweet out today saying like, if I don't get to play Joe Exotic, nothing matters anymore. Something like that. I am curious, what's up with the park now? Have you followed through on that? Like just what's the status of the old zoo?
Yeah, so I went back there a couple of times last year after the trial. And, so Jeff Lowe still runs the zoo. So the documentary led a lot of people to believe that, like, Joe's zoo had closed down and he opened this new one down in Vacaville. That actually never happened because I think that the thing with him and Tim Stark fell apart. And then the guy with the crazy handlebar mustache, that all fell apart. And I believe that Vacaville Zoo is still not even completed. And he's still, as far as I know, and Jeff Lowe has shut down his Facebook, so I have a little bit harder time keeping track of him. But I think that place is still open. The GW Zoo is still open for business. I went and visited it last year. It's, you know, a little bit sad now, to be honest. You know, all the Joe Exotic merchandise and everything with his picture on it has been pulled out. They, like, put it on a big burn pile and burned it. And so the gift shop looks a little bare. The cats looked a little skinny, to be honest, because they ended up losing their contract with Walmart to get the expired meat. So they're not getting as much food as they did before. They're doing their best, as far as I can tell. I mean, there's a lot of employees there who have really good hearts and they just care about animals and they're trying to keep the place afloat. But yeah, in my impression, it was kind of a sad place.
What do you think? I'll get you out of here on this one, Robert. What do you think the chances would be if I reached out getting Joe on the phone to do an interview to talk about this? No chance? Or do you think he's still such a narcissist he would consider something like that?
Oh, he would 100% consider it. He would love it. He lives. I mean, attention is his oxygen. He would love to talk to anyone. You'd be a little bit tricky to get him on the phone from jail, but it would be totally possible. You know, it's a it's a dollar a minute. You know, you just got to get into the smart jail mail system. And yeah, he would love to talk to you, man. He is a complete, I don't know if I can say that word. Anyway, he loves attention.
Dude, great job on the podcast. I just dove in. It's awesome. I can't wait to wrap it up. Thank you so much for hopping on with us. Good luck with the book you're currently writing. I understand why you maybe want to take a break and get away from this. And good luck with the miniseries coming out. We can't wait to watch that as well. Thank you for doing two hits on our radio station, man. And we greatly appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. This was fun.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.